All right, my name's Dr. Elizabeth Baer, and I am a research scholar at a small college in Minnesota. I also volunteer for the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., and I'm the author or editor of 5 books, and my most recent book is entitled The Genocidal Gaze, and it's about the German genocide of the Herero and Nama people in Namibia.
Dr. Baer, give us a little history of what happened to the Herero and Nama people of Namibia, and why is it that many people didn't seem to know what happened in Namibia between these years, 1904 and 1908? Further to that, can you explain to our listeners and our viewers the term or the concept of genocidal gaze as explained in your book?
So the Germans came late to colonization. They began a settlement colony in southwestern Africa, just above South Africa, in 1885. And essentially what they began to do is to steal the land from the indigenous people, among whom were two groups called the Herero and the Nama. They raped a lot of women. They stole cattle from the indigenous people. Essentially, they felt that they could take whatever they wanted and set up a colonial settlement. So in 1904, the Herero people were really fed up with the behavior of the Germans, and they rebelled against the Germans. The Germans spent about 6 months building a railroad up to a mountain in the northern part of the country, and there was an enormous battle there called the Battle of Waterberg. The Germans set up a pincher movement so that the people who weren't killed by Germany's firepower were pushed into the Omaheke Desert. And many of those people died of starvation or dehydration. The Germans followed them into the desert and poisoned the wells. Namibia is a very dry, arid country with a lot of desert. The people who eventually returned from the desert back to the communities were put into concentration camps. Then another indigenous group, the Nama, rose up against the Germans for the same reason. They saw what had happened at the Battle of Waterberg, so they decided they were going to fight a guerrilla war instead. And this war lasted 3 years, but ultimately the Germans conquered them as well. And the Germans not only set up concentration camps, but they set up the prototype of a death camp on an island off the coast of Namibia called Shark Island. They provided no shelter, no toilet facilities, no medical facilities, no food. They put people literally in cages on the beach. Some people who were imprisoned there were the subject of medical experiments, the subject of rape. When people died, the Germans cut the heads off the former prisoners. They forced other prisoners to scrape the flesh off their faces, and they sent the skeletons back to Germany for medical experiments and to prove that Germans were superior to the African people.
How much of what they did in Namibia at the time kind of laid the groundwork for the Holocaust?
Scholars have been writing books for a couple of decades now, including my own, about the parallels between these two genocides, which took place only 20 years apart. I mean, it was not a long period of time. Altogether in Namibia, 80,000 indigenous people were killed. That was about 80% of the Herero and 50% of the Nama people. After World War I, Germany lost their colonies and the German military went back to the fatherland, so-called, and they wrote histories of their glorious exploits in Africa. But all the colonial files were locked away. And Germany did not talk about this massacre, this what has now been declared a genocide.
They decided to forget about it.
Pretty much. And it's called colonial amnesia, when a group of people sort of hides or denies what happened.
Mm.
Hitler
now,
Germany
admitted its responsibility for the Holocaust, again, like you said, which happened just 2 decades after the genocide of the Naaman and the Herero. Why did it take long for Germany to acknowledge this genocide?
Well, first of all, they had hidden what they had done, and they, I think, didn't want to have to pay reparations. After the Holocaust, they paid reparations to those survivors, and they did not want to have to pay reparations in Africa. And certainly other colonial powers committed genocides as well. King Leopold of Belgium murdered many, many people in the Congo. So I think the awareness in the world of connections between imperialism and genocide and of the atrocities that were committed on the continent of Africa has been heightened in recent years. And I think Germany finally recognized that they were going to have to admit that they had committed a genocide between 1904 and 1908. You asked about similarities with the Holocaust. And first of all, the use of concentration camps and death camps. The fact that the first governor of the colony in Southwest Africa is the father of Hermann Göring, one of who founded Hitler's killer squads and so forth. So there's a lot of personal connections. I think one of the most profound connections is what I call the genocidal gaze, and that is looking upon a people in a way that deems them as subhuman, as less than human. And so then that makes it easier to just murder them. And this is how the Germans looked upon the Herero and Nama people in German Southwest Africa, their colony. They said, these people don't have a religion. They don't have a history. They don't farm the land, because people in Namibia were largely cattle farmers. They didn't grow agricultural crops because of the lack of water. And so they said, we can just take this land. And the German term Lebensraum, or living space, became popular during the colonial era. And that's a term that is associated with the Nazis as well. And so this attitude that you could cleanse the land of people and take the land for the superior race, the Aryan race, goes back to Germany through memoirs and novels and newspaper articles from the colony. And this is what the attitude is again during the Nazi Holocaust, the genocidal gaze on Jews, on people of color, on people with disabilities, on Roma and Sinti, gay people, etc.
So now, what does it mean that the Germans have finally admitted that there was a genocide in, you know, in Namibia of the Nama and Herero? What does it mean for the Nama and the Herero and for the Germans themselves?
Okay, that's a great question. There's a lot of controversy on the ground in Namibia about Germany's offer to acknowledge the genocide and to give the equivalent in American dollars of $1.3 billion to Namibia for development purposes. Why is there controversy? First of all, the agreement is between the governments. Even though some Herero and Nama people have been going to Germany and negotiating for this, 9 rounds of negotiation since 2015, but still there's no direct payments to the descendants of the Herero whose land was stolen a century ago. The money's going to the government. Some of the money, about 50% of the money, in fact, is going to be used to buy land back from the Germans. But this is land the Germans stole to begin with. So it means then the money will go back to the Germans, right? Namibian government pays Germany for the land, and it goes back to the Germans. Some of the other money is allocated for vocational education. Some Namibians find this to be very condescending. Why aren't they giving them a college education instead of just assuming that their abilities are only at a vocational level? So, and then there's among the Herero and Nama, there's distrust with their government. And this is a political party situation. So Namibia was the last country in Africa to gain its independence. Namibia did not gain its independence until 1990. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the political party that succeeded in gaining that independence, SWAPO, worked very hard. It fought wars for many years against the South Africans to get the independence. But SWAPO and the Herero and Nama people do not always get along politically. And the Herero and Nama people were decimated in terms of numbers because of the genocide. SWAPO is much more powerful. So again, there's fear among the Herero and Nama that they will never see this money. I read a lot of posts on Namibian Facebook. One man said, "The government will build a 1-inch building and tell us it cost $1 billion and we will never see the money."
So there's no trust or even representation by the Nama and Herero people.
Exactly.
When it comes to, you know, being recipients of this the $1.3 billion figure.
Right.
Let me ask you this real quick. First, how long did the negotiations take and how did they arrive at this $1.3 billion figure? And why is Germany hesitant to call it or to call the offer reparation?
They don't want to call it reparations because one of the terms of the agreement is this is their final and last offer. They were making this offer. This is all they were going to offer. They say Namibia can never come back to them for further reparations. So they're calling it a development fund, not reparations, which then allows them to make this agreement between the governments and not with the people who are the descendants of those who were murdered.
Mm. So in a way, they're really skirting, they're still skirting responsibility. Even if they're giving this money, they're not really taking full responsibility or acknowledging.
That's right. I think that's right. Symbolically, some Herero and Nama have said, this acknowledgement gives us back our dignity, even though we think the money is not enough. And I do think symbolically, it is important that Germany finally acknowledged, yes, it was a genocide. But I don't think that how they're handling the financial end of things is appropriate. And just to give you a sense of comparison, $1.3 billion in American money, but in euros, which are more valuable than American dollars, Berlin alone, the city of Berlin, spends over $10 billion a year in personnel costs. So while $1.3 billion may sound like a lot of money, from the German point of view, it's a pretty modest sum.
It's a drop in the ocean, really.
And they're going to pay it out over 40 years. So again, the value of that money will drop over the 40 years.
Right.
Yeah.
And so this is the end of the conversation on this issue as far as Germany is concerned. Since it's not being called a reparation, it's a development fund, and the Namibian government has signed on to it. This is it. No more talk about reparations.
That's right. There's been a very difficult recession in Namibia, and the government really needs money. And I think that's one of the reasons they were motivated to accept this offer right now. But whether it's going to make a difference on the ground to people whose families suffered from this is unclear.
And what does it mean that it took this long for them to acknowledge? Is that really justice? I mean, almost, you say 80% of the Herero people were decimated. They have very little representation in government. It doesn't feel like really there's justice, as they feel a sense of justice. So even the people who were affected directly are not alive anymore.
That's right. That's right. And maybe their great-great-grandchild is alive. Mm-hmm. But whether that child is going to get back any family land, what the land that the Germans stole in Namibia is the best land, the land that has water, the land that can be farmed and lived on, whereas huge swaths of that country are desert.
Which they're going to use the $1.3 billion part of to buy back.
Right.
Dr. Baer, thank you very much for speaking to us.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Really appreciate your time.